Tech Talk with Lee Stark.
Good morning, Lee Stark. How are you?
I'm okay, mate. Yourself?
Not too bad, thank you, Lee. I've got a question from Vivian. Vivian, what a lovely name. I love the name Vivian. Vivian. Vivian, say it three times. Vivian would like to know. And look, can I paraphrase? Because Vivian sent me quite a long email. Vivian is fed up with the world of Apple. She's in the Apple world, all right? And she's fed up with the Apple world because of what they're charging and all sorts of things. And she wants to know, is it worth swapping from the Apple world to, I suppose, the Android world? So maybe from Apple to Samsung or something like that. How difficult? Because she says in her email, you know, she's got all her photos with Apple, she's got all her music with Apple, she's got all her emails with Apple, and she's been in the Apple world for several years. But she's basically going to the window, putting it up and saying, Apple, I'm fed up, I've had enough, I want a change. But how difficult is that change for Vivian, Lee?
It can be quite extensive, depending on what you're planning to do. I mean, part of being locked into an ecosystem is how a lot of companies benefit long-term. Let's talk about this really quickly to see if we can do it. So to fix your photo situation, you've got to make sure your photos are synced out of iCloud, because you can't actually access iCloud from an Android device. So one thing you can do is download your entire collection and re-upload it to Google Photos. That's an option. You'll probably, if your collection is large, you will probably still have to pay Google for it instead. But Google Photos works across iPhone, Mac, Windows, Android, so it doesn't really matter. It's a website. Your music, you can switch to anything that you want. You can switch to Spotify or YouTube Music. It's entirely your choice. Apple Music does work on Android as well, so that's a possibility. You can usually easily switch. If you're going to jump platforms, it's not remarkably difficult. Most Android devices support actually a migration tool when you actually first buy the phone. In fact, when you first install the phone, if you reset almost any Android phone bought in the past 3 years, they will include a migration tool. The catch on that, however, is it only runs at the time of installing your phone. And some of the things won't be able to be migrated. So you can't migrate iMessage at all. It just doesn't talk to Google in any sense. It doesn't talk to Android. There's an upcoming standard called RCS, Rich Communication Services, it's kind of like iMessage for everyone. And Android supports it and Apple supports it, so that might not be as long-term an issue. Your photos are probably the biggest thing. If you're uploading them to iCloud, and you've got more than just what's on your phone, you will need somehow find a way to transition them off iCloud. But if your photos are only on your device, they will migrate to an Android with no problem. They'll be part of that migration process. To answer your question, Vivian, the answer is you can do it. It's not remarkably difficult. And I've been actually writing an article on this, because a lot of the reasons people will have to support either Android or iPhone, choosing one versus the other, are really disappearing lately. The question is, are you using accessories, really, that are based on certain devices? So, for instance, an Apple Watch will only work on an iPhone. There's no way around that. AirPods mostly work on an iPhone. You can make them work on an Android. In fact, there's one specific Android that's got experimental support for it. But if you own accessories made by Apple, like if you own a HomePod or something like that, they only work with an iPhone. So the question is less about, if you're locked into the ecosystem, are you willing to give up the phone, or do you have extra accessories with it? Because if you have extra accessories, the move is way more difficult. But if you don't, it's actually fairly straightforward.
I'm just thinking about the world of other, when you say accessories too, I'm thinking about the smart world. If you've got smart devices in your house, like you might have a smart front door, for example. You might have fans that you use in the ceiling. They might be connected with Wi-Fi and they might be a smart fan. That's just two examples. It's also, you've got to think about that, because I suppose a lot of these smart devices don't work in the Apple world. Is that correct?
Yeah, Apple is not strong on smart devices. It's one area where actually Android, like Google and Amazon, actually have a much bigger leap. I mean, Apple does support modern standards like Matter and Thread, and they do exist in, they're connected in things like the HomePod. But as you said, most smart devices, air conditioners, washing machines, they rely on apps that are integrated and connect using things like Google and Amazon. So you're less likely to have roadblocks with those devices. If you've got those in your house, they will probably work on Android, iPhone. They will more than likely even work with web browsers on your computer. But your Apples are less likely to be a roadblock on that one. As I said, it's more about the accessories you use immediately with your phone. So a good example of this is if you have a MagSafe charger. That's the magnetic style charger that allows you to mount your phone and it just kind of sits there. Not a single Android supports that in its current state. There's a new version coming called QI2, which is basically MagSafe, but it's not on a single device. It should have been out this year, but it's not on a single device. So if you've got, I know it seems small, but if you've got like a $200 charger that's magnetic and you've got a recent iPhone, you will say, I want to give up iPhone and go to Android. Your charger will not support your new Android because it can't magnetically mount. Even if your iPhone or your Android phone has wireless charging, it'll still support it, provided you can hold it against it. But unless it's lying flat, it probably won't. It's really about accessories for the most part. AirPods, AirPods Pro, AirPods Max, they're a perfect example. They technically work on an Android, but you won't get the controls. By comparison, Apple's other brand, Beats, all of the headphones they make are Android and iPhone supported. They even include an app for Android. So it's very much about the accessories. You have an Apple Watch, it's very much sell your Apple Watch and buy something else. A lot of devices do support both platforms, but a perfect example is Samsung Galaxy Wears and other Android Wear devices. They're powered by Android. They also don't work on iPhone. It's the whole platform incongruity situation can be very messy at times.
You mentioned Meta as part of your answer. Could you tell us more? What is this? I've read a little bit about Meta. What is Meta?
Meta, and like Thread, is an open smart home system. It's supported by everyone. The idea is to make it so that devices actually talk to each other using localized Wi-Fi and Bluetooth networks. So if you see the word Meta, and also if you see the word Thread on smart devices, it means it will be supported by pretty much everyone. It was brought to light about 2 years ago, and people have started supporting it ever since. So recent Amazon Echoes have Meta built in, or a Meta Hub. Zigbee's another one, but it's mostly for light, for lighting gear. They're kind of considered as platforms that everyone will openly engage in. Whereas previously, it was you had to support Google or you had to support Amazon. A perfect example of that is Ring devices. Ring make amazing smart doorbells, but they only talk to the Ring to the Amazon ecosystem because, shock horror, Amazon owns Ring. When they support Meta, it means everything can play nicely.
The other thing that Vivian has to think about, if she wishes to change from an Apple to a Samsung phone, I suppose if you've got lots of, if you live in the world of apps on your phone, you'd also have to change and upgrade all those apps, would you not?
Yeah, that's true, but we find to an extent these days that a lot of apps are largely the same. Like if you won't necessarily, you'll have to buy any app that you actually bought previously. That much is true, but a lot of people don't rely on bought apps anymore. Most apps are free or freemium to the point where you'll be paying something by subscription. And if it's a subscription, Apple Music, again, perfect example, or Spotify, the app is the same across each device, but the subscription is what you're paying for. So if your app is kind of the same and available on both, then it is what you'll be able to get it on each device. Games are a weird one. If you have games on there, they may not exist for Android. That's changing a lot in that ecosystem. If you buy something like an Apple Premium account, like an Apple News, Apple TV, some of those apps and services will not exist on Android. Apple TV does exist in some forms. It exists on Android TV, but I don't think it exists on standard Android, but Apple News doesn't. Apple Photos, as I said before, your upgraded storage account, that doesn't exist on Android. Apple Music does, but you don't get the same service. You can't get spatial audio, even if you can get lossless audio. There's a whole bunch of random caveats that exist across these things. Even if you subscribe to Apple Fitness, that doesn't exist on Android as well. They're very much into locking you into ecosystems.
Oh, Vivian, it was a detailed answer, but I think you might be sticking where you are because it sounds like one hell of a job to change. That's for sure. My goodness me. I suppose one of these days we will live in a world where everyone will get on and all devices will work with all other devices and there won't be, you know, a competition like you buy this device and it won't work with that device. Maybe we're heading down that road, Lee.
I've been working this area for about 15 to 17 years, and I really want to answer it in the most positive way possible, but I come back to not bloody likely.
Okay. At least you're honest. All right. Yeah. There are new phones coming out earlier than expected. But you say a bit of a warning for folks thinking of buying a new phone because Samsung and Google will be releasing phones a little earlier this year. Tell us more about these phones.
So we normally know when people should buy things. For instance, if you're buying a new TV, I can tell you to wait till March to May because that's because new TVs always come out then. And then the old TVs that you buy then, that you want to buy right now, are actually pushed down in price. Luxury TVs are about to change in price. September. Phones normally change at two times a year, around February to March and around September to October. September is when the new iPhone normally comes out, and October is when Google's phones come out. Not this year. It's a bit of a change. Same with Samsung. Samsung normally has August for its foldable phones, and that basically pushes down the price of its other phones released earlier in the year. That's coming out actually in a couple of weeks, so we're going to hear about it this week, actually. So we'll end up probably talking about it on the show next weekend. Weirdly enough, Google has moved its release from October to August, which is incredibly far up the scale. They're either incredibly confident about what they have coming, or they are also incredibly confident about what Apple has coming. The reason why this is so important is because a lot of people weight their decisions based off when things come out, and they go, maybe I should buy the next latest, you know, later in the year. And one of the options to consider is that the current models are often totally fine for everyone's needs. And so if you know a model is coming out very soon, you can go, I'm just going to time my decision to buy the current model or save a bit of money based off that. So I can say that with Google's models likely coming out in August and then September leading the iPhone sort of thing, the time will be right somewhere between August and September to likely buy a new phone if you're happy with today's ones, or even if you want to wait to get the whatever is brand spanking new from Google, Samsung and Apple.
Motorola has a new foldable phone coming out. Is that true?
Yeah, I've been reviewing it. I actually love it. It's called the Razr 50 Ultra. It's basically a phone that you can stick in your pocket that folds up nice and shiny. It's got a 4-inch screen on the outside, which is clever because you can actually use it as a compact phone. And when you open it up, it's got a 6.7 or 6.9-inch screen on the inside. So it's a big phone made small. It's very clever. And it includes two cameras, so you can get close and a bit further back. But what I like about it, for the most part, is that a lot of people complain that phones are often too big, and that's understandable. And this is a phone that's big but also folds up very nicely in your pocket, which is really surprising. I feel like Motorola has been working on this quite well, and it continues the Razr name. A lot of us have grown up with, if you remember the Motorola Razr flip phones from back in the day, where they had the most convenient action of hanging up on someone was to literally close the phone, and this continues that logic. You open the phone by picking up a call and you close it by hanging up. It's quite clever.
But you just said, you know, people are complaining about phones being too big. I mean, if you go back in previous years, using an iPhone, for example, I mean, the very first iPhones were quite small. They got smaller and smaller, but now all of a sudden they've got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. So phones on the Apple side of things seem to be just getting bigger rather than smaller. And are Apple looking at possibly doing a foldable phone, or is that something that they didn't think of, so they're not going to go down that road?
So Apple doesn't tell us anything, but we know the company is looking at foldable phones based off what its patents look like and off some of the design leaks. But what we've seen about Apple in the past is that it tends to let other companies try things first before it reinvents how they were. Apple did not have the first smartphone. They didn't even have the first media player, but both the iPod and the iPhone have been wildly more successful than smartphone attempts made before it. So it tends to let other people break ground before it reinvents and revolutionizes things. That's what we've seen in the past. A perfect example of that is the Vision OS. They are not remotely the first company in the VR space, and yet they seem to be the one that's getting the most attention for its developments. We suspect the foldable will come along sometime in 2026 or 2027. Samsung does the most work in foldables, so it's got several designs. Motorola and a couple other brands are outside of that. I think Apple is definitely working on something. I think it's a question of thinness, because one of the problems foldable phones have is that it's like stacking two phones together.
True.
So when I say it's compact, the Motorola Razr still is kind of a chunky beast. It's thin when it's flat in your pocket, but closes up, it's kind of like a pocket mirror, and it just becomes big again. I have a feeling that's the biggest problem for Apple in that instance. It's trying to make it thin. We know Apple is definitely working on size because we know its next current, its likely model in next year will be a lot thinner than what we're going to see this year and in previous years, based off of what we've seen on the new iPad Pro, which is 5.1 millimeters thin and thinner than any other tablet. It uses Samsung screen technology, and it still manages to get thinner than Samsung's own tablet. So I would say they're working on it. In terms of size, look, the iPhone mini, which they no longer have anymore, was technically the same size as the original iPhones with the home button, but had more screen real estate. We now look at screens different. We want bigger screens. We want to look at more of the internet. We want to look at bigger photos, things like that. They've gotten bigger, yeah, but people's pants still stay the same size. People's wallets and bags still stay the same size. So a lot of people still complain about the size. We still hear it from time to time. The biggest reason you have a big phone has to do with the battery. They can stack way more battery inside of it, inside of a bigger screen. So Apple is more than likely working on ways to accommodate bigger screens and better batteries long term, but it's just going to take time. They're going to wait to see everyone else kind of mess it up before they reinvent it.
Text messages. You say here that you better pay more attention to your text messages, particularly between the hours of 1 and 4. Don't just aimlessly click, because that's when scammers are attacking.
It's crazy, actually. Research came out of Telstra about this, and it actually matches well with what we've been seeing from writing reviews and writing articles in general, which is that scammers are working between the hours of 1 and 4 largely to send you messages. So if you wake up and you find a message from a random mobile number or a fake link or a fake ATO while you've been asleep, the plan is actually from these scammers to try and have you click without thinking, because the urgency is what drives them. Urgency is one of the most obvious common denominators between scammers. They want you to do it without thinking. There must be a reason for you to spend your money and into your details as quickly as possible. And that's what they're finding, is that between the hours of 1 and 4 a.m., mostly on Fridays and Saturdays, but it can happen any day, you can expect to find a barrage of SMSs arriving on your phone from scammers. It's called smishing, the term. It's basically phishing over SMS. If you receive a message from someone that doesn't look legit, look at the URL, the www.whatever. The best tip I can give to anyone is that scammers can't use the real websites. They can't use coles.com.au. They can't use ato.gov.au. They can't use anything legitimate. They'll use something like the name of that company dot something else, and that's your dead giveaway that it's fake, ignoring the fact that the phone number is probably fake as well.
Our time is up. I've got to let you go. Thank you so much, as always. We look forward to talking to you each and every Sunday morning. Lee's got a website. It's pickr.com.au. And if you want to send Lee an email, you can do so. It's got all the links and details on his website. Thanks, mate. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
No, you too. Happy to help.
We'll talk to Lee next week. That's our Tech Talk. And if you've got any questions for Lee, as you heard this morning for Vivian, he likes to give detailed answers. So if you've got any problems, send us your thoughts, send us your questions via email, and we'll put them to Lee next Sunday morning.